All right, this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial is brought to you by Synergy and Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and all those things that make office use wonderful.
Synergy, synergy, synergy.
Synergy, synergy, synergy. I'm on a boat. All right, so actually this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial is brought to you by Skip the Tutorial, where you can find us at facebook.com/skipthetutorialpodcast. On Twitter at STT_pod. On Twitch at twitch.tv/skipthetutorialpodcast. On Podbean and on iTunes and everywhere you get your podcast. Here's the thing, folks. Todd, I'm excited about this. Everybody else is excited about this. Every month, we give away a $35 Amazon gift card if you just engage with us on one of those platforms. Not all of them. We're not asking much. We're just asking for one.
Yep. And I mean, we throw random giveaways in there sometimes, but it's going to continuously be the steady Amazon love that we show for the appreciation. Hopefully we got some other surprises coming up soon, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. We gave away the Nipsey Hussle album last week, didn't we?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Fulfilled the promise. You know what I'm saying? And she was real happy about it. It was real dope. You know, hustle and motivate. We keep it moving. Touch the people.
I always touch people. That's how I live my life. Not in a Kevin Spacey way, though. In a Kevin Spacey way.
Ghost Dad 2 and 3. The comeback. Now Lex Luger seems fucked up with that old lady, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just seems a little bit wrong now. It really does. We're also brought to you by Leafamania on Twitch, which you can find at twitch.tv/Leafamania. And that's spelled LEIFAMANIA. LEIFAMANIA. That dude is really cool. He streams, you know, mostly RPGs. He allows you to vote on what games you're going to play. And the guy just brings a lot of positivity out there. He's just looking for positive people.
And he's got a beast setup. I saw a setup last night. That shit's beast.
Oh, it was pretty. It made me a little bit jealous. I mean, he's got his Alienware. I'll stick with my Omen, though.
Be real honest.
I'll stick with my Omen. I like my baby. You. My baby.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial, the number one video game podcast in Macon, Georgia. I'm your host, Bryant Toshiaki Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is your other host this week, Todd Akita Fortner.
Akita. Oh, man, what's up? What's up? Hey, you did a great job with that Tokiyashi. I wouldn't have been able to say that shit like that.
Toshiaki. Tokiyashi? Now I can't say it at all. I said it during the intro. I can't say it now. Toshiaki, that's it. Toshiaki, one of my favorite, one of the more interesting, I guess you'll say, characters in a video game that we're going to be talking about today. Who kind of is a catalyst for an entire chain of events. Anyway, we are Skip the Tutorial, so if you don't know who we are, every week we get together and we talk about video games, our favorite thing in the universe, our favorite form of entertainment, if you will say. Speaking of that, Todd, last night I got to go see the video game movie this year, Ready Player One.
I'm excited to hear a little bit about this. I know we got to get into the gaming, but, you know, this is related to the games. And I've been bullshit, man. I was going to wait for it to come on to Cody. So do I need to go see it?
I'm kind of torn on this. So I read the book, right? This is a very loose adaptation of the book. Very loose adaptation. Part of me loved seeing it in the theaters because the sounds, the editing, everything about it was just spot on. It's Spielberg, bro. It's Spielberg. You can't go wrong with Spielberg. That being said, the movie's a blast, but it's not going to be life-changing.
Gotcha.
It's a blast. There's a lot of really quick references. My only problem with the references is they're so freaking quick. They move by so fast that you don't have time to really enjoy them. RoboCop showed up on screen for 2 seconds. RoboCop. Okay. And I was like, all right, that's cool. Whatever you want. But, like, I don't know. But there are stuff at the end. I won't ruin it, but there's a fight at the end that was absolutely, totally worth seeing in theaters. That was just wonderful.
Quick matinee, IMAX is not, I'm not going to be disappointed.
No, you will not be disappointed. But anyway, so we usually get together and we talk about what we've been playing, gaming news, and then we do a roundtable. But occasionally we do a mini-sode. This week is a mini-sode. Todd, our mini-sodes are always top sevens. What's our top seven this week for the audience?
Top seven hidden gems or games people slept on. You dig? Like, you know, what we fuck with, which is kind of funny. I was thinking about it when we talked about this list, because I think it was it last week we talked about backlogs.
Yes.
So we could just be like, more shit to add to your backlogs, top seven.
We just gave you a tip to clear out your backlogs, and now we're telling you to add more shit to your backlogs. Stuff that you missed out or slept on. We're the best. We're like the friend. We're like the friend in your life who's like, you should probably lose weight. And then we take you to CC's Pizza for lunch.
Oh, man, my dude just turned into DJ Khaled. We are the best.
We are the best. What's he say? Major key. Major key. Right there. Nah, but that's what we're doing this week. We're talking about our top seven games that are hidden gems or games. I like the idea of games people slept on. I like that a little bit better. Because, like, it's a better definition, I would think, of what we're really talking about here. Because me and you, we got an extensive background in this gaming world. We're a little bit older. One of our fans called me an old man. So I thought that was funny.
That's real. Age ain't nothing but a number, though, man. Wait till we start live switching, though. They ain't going to... Look here, man. I'm just seasoned. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just seasoned. That's
especially for this gaming shit. We brought this up before. It's funny. For the gaming thing, man, the whole demographic has changed. We the first generation to grow up with games. So you kind of got to respect it. You dig?
You do. But, you really have to respect the fact that we've been around a minute. We've seen some of these things cycle in and out. You know, that's like last year when... the dude from EA said it's the death of single player whatever games. And it's like, I've seen this before. I've seen this cycle in and out before. It's not the death of single player. Games, the whole industry, if you look back, it revolves in this cyclical, like this cycle, and that we've been around long enough to see that cycle ebb and flow. So that's what makes us so good.
That's real. Not to disregard the youths, you know. I wouldn't mind plugging up with some good utes.
Absolutely.
And it's just about bridging the gap between the generations and maybe even older gamers. It's funny you talked about Ready Player One real quick. Steven Spielberg is a gamer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's like 116 years old, still making movies about games. You feel me? So it's like, you know, the thing I love about us talking about this shit and coming together about these games is, you know, it crosses borders, even age groups, color, religion, gender.
Absolutely.
All those things. You dig? So, I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, games. So, games we slept on, is we just going to switch it on to that?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a better definition. It's like top seven games people slept on. I kind of like that definition a lot better. Because
all right, fuck it.
It makes more sense. It just makes more sense. It's hidden gems, if you will, but it's just kind of expanding the definition of hidden gems. It's making it a little bit broader, which it kind of encompasses some of the stuff we're going to talk about. So basically the parameters are these are games that we feel people missed out on. For either it's a generational thing, something to go back to, it's a thing that was widely reviewed well by critics that wasn't sold very well, didn't sell very well. Or it's games that we personally played that maybe the critics and didn't sell. Critics didn't like, people didn't sell. People didn't buy into it, but we personally thought were good games. So Todd, why don't you get us started, man? What is your number seven?
Legacy of Kain, Soul Reaver.
Parallel thoughts, bro. Parallel thoughts.
There is, man. Came out in the lovely year of 1999. The year before the year 2000. Yeah, if you want to see that, there we go. I'm aging myself.
We just aged ourselves. That's a coded reference.
Yeah, man. But, you know, on original PlayStation, the Gray Machine, it was just a game. Really, it's the second game, too. There was a game, it was a sequel to Blood Omen. But both games, really, people slept on. The second one was even better to me. It's just, it was one of those games where, as a, for example, like a Spawn fan, it gave me that vibe. And I have a feeling I could find that game right now in the story of it, and just how the protagonist, just in the beginning, his whole flesh is stripped from his body, and you don't know where it's going. The gameplay was a little bit ahead of its time to me a little bit. You still see remnants of it, and it never really just, you know, got the do that it needed, I believe. Like you said, we had parallel thoughts. I know you fuck with this game.
It's
know
my
you know
number seven. That. It's my number seven, too. It really is. That's where the parallel thought comes from. This game is just one of the most clever puzzle platforming games I've ever played. And as a horror fan, as just a general horror fan, the imagery in this game was stunning and beautiful. I remember first plugging that thing in, and you got that first FMV, that first full motion video introduction with vocals, with actual people talking on the PlayStation 1, which is something a little bit unusual at the time this game came out. It was amazing. He gets his wings ripped off. He gets thrown into the pits of hell. He gets his flesh stripped. He becomes the Soul Eater, man. He's the Soul Eater. And then when you come across that very first vampire that you have to take down, and they're like, all right, punch him, right? All right. Well, he can't die, so here's what you got to do. You got to throw him on a spike. So you got to pick his body up and throw him on a spike, or you got to throw him into the sunlight. How amazing was that? That combat system, just alone, while being very basic at the same time, was incredibly fun. There were so many times where I'd exit a room and enter a room just so I could punch dudes and throw them into sunlight and just watch them burn up just right in front of me.
Did it feel a little bit ahead of its time as far as just putting the whole package together? Not necessarily like groundbreaking graphically, specifically, not necessarily, you know what I mean, though? Like a little bit ahead of its time?
Yeah, dude, it definitely felt like ahead of its time. Now, I'll say this, I like the PlayStation 1 version, but if you get a chance, if you've got a Dreamcast, the Dreamcast version is the superior version. The graphically speaking, it's just beautiful. Dreamcast just had better hardware at the time than Sony PlayStation. They just didn't have enough developers coming out.
The whole system that was slept on.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. And, you know, for people who are interested in modern day gaming, if you know the name Amy Hennig, she is actually the one who's responsible for Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. You may know her from a little series called Uncharted. Just saying, she was the director of Uncharted. Used to work for Crystal Dynamics, which did the whole Legacy of Kain series. So, you know, if you think that there's good pedigree in the Legacy of Kain series, and you can get this on Steam for cheap. I think it's like $1.99.
Like, see,
that's where it is, man. That's
a good deal, man. If that's definitely one, you pop in, install it, paid a little bit of money, you won't regret it. You know, that's an easy one, you know. So, yeah, man. So, look, since we had the duel, I know the list is going to switch up. We always do this. We never know
how it's going to
go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But what's your number six, broski?
My number six is Commandos for the PC. Commandos. So, Commandos was one of the first games that I ever played that was I guess you would call it a strategy game. It's an isometric strategy game. So basically what you are is you're playing as a group of six guys in World War II trying to infiltrate different Nazi bases and take them down. And the coolest thing about this game series, the Commandos games, was that each party on your team had a different capability. So you either had a dude who had explosives. That was his primary capability. You had a dude who was a robber, a thief, his primary capability. I mean, because you would go in, get out, and you, of course, had your team commander and team lead. But the coolest thing about this game I remember from playing it as a kid was there was an unprecedented level of violence for an isometric game. Like, when you snuck up behind somebody and you pulled your knife out and you stabbed a dude, like, you actually, like, heard it. Like, they put the sound effect in there, and you saw the blood spill to the ground. And it was challenging. It was extremely challenging because your goal was not to be seen. In fact, your goal in the game was to kill as few people as possible. You were literally getting in just to sabotage things, just to mess stuff up for the Nazis and be like, ha, 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 I blew your radio tower up. You cannot communicate. And then you get to see the results afterwards.
But you know, I love anything fucking with Nazis, so that sounds dope.
Oh, dude, it's great. Again, Steam, you can get it for super cheap.
Yeah, because every time you say commando, I think of Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger.
With the rocket launcher with the four things on his shoulder. He was just a hero. Okay, yeah. But that's dope, though. That's dope. You know, I got to look this up myself because I don't know what's coming out of your mouth off your list.
Yes, sir. Right, so what's your number six?
I haven't played it. Number one. This is the one on the list I've never played, so I for sure know that it's being slept on because I hadn't played it. I know it's a good game, but it's Yakuza 0. It's the prequel to the Yakuza series. You know, Sega, they are my peoples. I fucks with Sega, even though they've sold me out on a few occasions.
Yeah.
But this series is one, like, this is the one game, like I said, I haven't played it, but I gotta find time to add more to my motherfucking backlog because this is one I feel like I just need to get. This is my kind of game.
Yep.
You know, action adventure video game. It's got, you know, character development. It's got a lot of side things that you can do that are just childish and foolish. I could get loaded and play. So Yakuza 0, I just had to think of something that's more recent that I know that I'm sleeping on. That is my style that I definitely want to get into. So that's my number six.
I've slept on the entire Yakuza series. Like, this is something that I want to go back and really dig my heels into because everything I understand, the whole series is, while it has some ups and downs, for the most part, the whole series is great. We got Yakuza 6 coming out this year, this month. I think it comes out this month.
I think so. And to see, the thing about it is, from what I understand, since it's a prequel, and I've never played it either.
Yeah.
It's probably the best place to start. Because then, you know, you jump into the prequel, and then 6 comes out. If 0, you know, is the game that you expected, that you want, it's a series that you like, so be it. Then you can jump right into 6. So,
I'm gonna check it out, dude. I'm definitely going to myself. My number 5 is a game for the 3DS. Got a lot of heat. Got a lot of heat for being a Pokemon ripoff. It's kind of childish. We've talked about this before in some of the games that I play. But my number 5 is Yo-Kai Watch. Yo-Kai Watch. So, yes. Okay, look. I get it. The game's got an E rating. It's rated E for everyone. It's got ties to an anime, quote-unquote, that is definitely more just a kid's cartoon, and which I've watched way more of than I wish I could admit or I'd like to admit. However, that being said, the video game itself has got some of the most interesting combat that I've seen. The storyline isn't necessarily all that intriguing. It is. It goes in some interesting places, but the combat itself, the way they utilize the dual screen on the 3DS, the way that you have are forced to interact with the combat, and the surprising challenge of the last chain of battles that you have to go through was interesting to me. It was, so the basic premise of the game is you get a watch that allows you to see yokai. Yokai are ghosts in this universe. And just like in Pokemon, you can make friends with the yokai instead of capturing them. And you use them to battle other yokai, or you can fuse them together. But the way the battle system actually works is that you're not choosing their attacks. They're going through auto attacks. The only thing that you're doing is you're doing little mini games on the bottom by either solving puzzles or trying to rub away just ink that's been placed on the bottom of the screen so that you can allow them to do their power attacks. And you plan their power attacks.
Mini games on the bottom, huh?
Mini games on the bottom. Mini games on the bottom.
Yes, champ. Sorry, guy.
I'm ready to play the sequel. I've got the sequel. So, you know, it's one of those games that I think people slept on because they thought it was too childish, but it's surprisingly a lot of fun.
I can dig it.
And it's charming. It's got some charming-ass music to it, too. What's your number 4, bud? Or number 5?
It's one that I know that you... Yeah, number 5. Now, it's all good. It's all good. I know it's one that you fuck with, though. I'm not gonna lie. This is just from knowing you a little bit.
Yeah.
It's the Chronicles of Riddick: Escape from Butcher Bay. Mm. All right? People slept on this one. Came out in 04.
Xbox 360, right? Or no, Xbox. Yeah, original Xbox.
Yeah, Xbox. And the thing about this one, you know, we talked about this before, and once again, just to pull from another show, I think we talked about... Have we talked about the movie adaptations on the podcast yet?
I don't know.
Is that coming up? Okay,
I think that's
coming
up, yeah.
But I know we've talked about the shit in person, and how, like, normally games made from movies or movies made from games are shitty. So I think people just passed up on this one because they thought it was just going to be like the movie, and most of the movie games are shitty. But this one specifically took a different route with focusing on him breaking out of prison as opposed to like the Pitch Black or the Chronicles of Riddick, which are sleeper movies that I just really fuck with. Like, I think why Vin Diesel is still relevant just because of those movies. Like, I could still put on Pitch Black. It's aged so well, and I could probably just watch it. I could still put on the Chronicles of Riddick, even though it's over the top. It's aged so well. And the thing about this one was the graphics were cool to me for the time. And the fact it's first person action, but it's really like a stealth game. You trying to escape from prison. I know that this is your shit, so I know you got your own list, but how do you feel about the old Chronicles of Riddick?
It is by far, Escape from Butcher Bay is by far in my top 10 games of all time. It flat is. It's probably in the lower tier of that, so probably in the 5 through 10 or whatever. However, that's a big, for as many games as I play, that's a huge compliment towards that game. It's like you said, it's one of the best stealth games I've ever played. Just the storyline's incredible, the escape system's incredible. When you get your shine, when you actually get the shine in the game and you're able to use it, when you're attacking the creatures in there, and you're having to come across the creatures, and you're having to, you know, you're hiding amongst the rocks, and you're having to jump down on top of them and strangle them to death. And you're Riddick, man. You're the ultimate, penultimate badass that I think everybody slept on was Riddick. Riddick was amazing. And I love those movies, like we talked about. I love Pitch Black. Pitch Black's one of my favorite sci-fi movies in the last, 20 years. Even the Riddick. Chronicles of Riddick and Riddick, the one that came out a few years ago, the sequel to it, the follow-up, was kind of stunning. But this is one of those games that even the hand-to-hand combat system, when you're actually throwing punches, it's the first time in a first-person game where I was throwing punches where I actually felt like I was physically throwing punches. They had some labor and some weight to your fists that were just... It's one of those that just... I recommend it every time. I don't know if it's on Xbox One, but now I'm going to go check. After we get it done here, I'm going to go check. If it's on Xbox One, if it's on backwards compatibility, I'm going to go pick that sucker up because that's what I want. I know they put Ninja Gaiden Black on there. I really hope they put Chronicles of Riddick on there.
I kind of see, damn, why'd you say Ninja Gaiden Black? Okay, stay focused. Let's focus on the list. So what's your number five?
Four. Number four.
Four.
Yeah. Number four, yeah. Yeah. No worries. Can't count today. It's Saturday morning. It dropped like 40 degrees in Dallas. It's cold.
It's fucking crazy, man. It's cold. It's the weather machines, bro. It's the fucking weather machines. Lil Uzi Vert might be right. Maybe that's why he looks that way.
That was good. That was good. My number four is Dead to Rights. Dead to Rights. So, kids listening to this show, if you don't know what bullet time is, go watch The Matrix. Bullet time after The Matrix came out became a huge thing in video games. Basically being able to slow down time. There's still elements of that today. You can see it in games like the new Tomb Raider games. They use a little bit of that. But Dead to Rights was an extreme implementation of bullet time. In fact, it became kind of the main draw of the game itself. Was the use of bullet time. Where Max Payne first implemented it, Dead to Rights, in my opinion, actually perfected bullet time and the use of bullet time. It's got an interesting story regarding a police officer. You've got an actual canine you can use, Shadow. You got a partner, a dog partner in the game. And it just becomes one of the craziest, most over-the-top action games. It reminds me of like kung fu action movies, like this Dead to Rights does. It's so much fun. It's so intense. It's so extreme. It came out in 2002, so it's a little harder to find now. The sequel was a little bit more revered, but this kind of got it started. If you want a taste of that early action days of video games when they really started becoming more cinematic, Dead to Rights is a good place to start. I mean, without games like Dead to Rights or Max Payne, you don't have games in the future like when they did enter The Matrix when that came out. Even though The Matrix inspired that, it took those video games showing them the path and the way to actually perform those actions in an interesting concept and an interesting engagement. I thought it was really a fascinating game. It's definitely worth picking up. I recommend going to find it. What is your number four, Todd?
Knockout Kings. Motherfucking Knockout Kings. Okay. Ooh. I don't know if this is a thing. That's just, I don't know if people didn't sleep on this in my circle, but across the board, I just had to put this shit on the list. You know, I love my boxing games. I wish they would come out with another one. Boxing just isn't as popular as it used to be. In fact, I find it interesting with them coming out with a boxing game. Would it be Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor? Is he even allowed to be on video games anymore after the shit he just pulled out?
Oh, yeah.
I know I went off on a little weird rant, but Knockout Kings preceded Fight Night. And I think people just slept on it, man. That was a really great game. Like, I remember spending hours upon hours fighting my friends and just Marvin Hagler versus Jake LaMotta.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oscar De La Hoya versus Roberto, Sugar Ray Leonard, Muhammad Ali.
They had everybody in those games.
Yeah, man. And it just used to be a lot of fun, just the sweet science of it all. So that's definitely one. I mean, Fight Night gets a little credit, and with them not having fighting games anymore, I mean, I get it. You know, it's more of MMA. I might need to get into that one day. But I think this is me just calling out to developers, being like, hey, man, let's get a good boxing game out there. Because the good thing about boxing games where you don't have to just rely on the current stars, you can use the old stars to promote the current stars, and maybe we can get some good boxing back. So, yeah, that's my number four, Knockout Kings.
Man, I do wish for a new boxing game. Just from back in the day, dude, playing just, you know, Fight Night and Knockout Kings and all of those, too. Like, I remember Knockout Kings even had a Game Boy version of their game on Game Boy Color that I played constantly.
It was on a bunch of platforms. I mean, it had a nice little, you know, 5-6 year run, 99 or 2003, 2004, something like that, or 98. I don't know, but,
It was
just dope. Like, it was a PlayStation 2, GameCube versions, Game Boy versions, PlayStation. So, I mean, it had a good run. And that's why it's kind of like, okay, did it really get it? Is it a hidden gem? Yes, it's still one where I don't know. I might, because it's not many fight games. And this was one of the ones that really kicked off the good stretch of the good ones. So I just had to get it on the list.
I also think it's a really, like, forgotten series. You know, yeah. Most boxing games are. The only boxing game people talk about these days is, Super Knockout or Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Super Punch-Out. That's kind of the only one that people talk about. Yeah,
which made Mike Tyson look even more crazy than he already make himself look. And, I mean, they had some really actually good fighting games. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Focused on the sport of fighting, you know what I mean? But I think it's just once, you know, the market. MMA is the shit now, I guess, you know, but I think there's still a market out there for good boxing. Conor McGregor made $100 million a couple of years ago off boxing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just the boxer in me. That's the boxing fan in me through games and just remembering, like, feeling like people slept on that game a
bit. Real quick, can you explain to me exactly why Conor lost his crap the other day?
Like, I don't know, man. I just know it's serious if Dana White is just like, this is the most severe and serious thing and blah, blah, blah. I think, I don't know, man. Ain't no telling, bro. You get a lot of money. I don't know. I don't know enough about it to speak on it like that. I just know it's not a good look.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that video online where he attacked that bus. So I'm just going to say, when you're attacking buses, maybe not the best state of mind to be in at the time.
It's like, are you dating a YouTube girl? Is that what it is? I can't believe she lost it. So, I wish I could do an Irish fucking anyway. That's kind of, I respect the fuck out of Conor McGregor though, man. He's a character, bro. He's a character. He didn't make $100 million for no reason, and neither did Floyd Mayweather, man. That shit, I just don't want to see them, like Floyd, go to fight in the MMA at all. I don't want to see that.
No, dude.
Fuck up the games.
No, he can't. He cannot. Fight. No, please don't. He won't. I don't think he will. I'm not imagining a future where Floyd ever does that, because, you know, the guy's smarter than that. People give Floyd Mayweather a lot of crap, but the dude's smart. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to promote himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he may he's got some issues, but, you know, the dude,
he's smart. I mean, he sounds real stupid sometimes, but if I ever had $75 million, I'd live like Floyd Mayweather, at least for like a couple of weeks.
Just until, you know, I was saying? Like, what? All right, my number three is a game for the PlayStation 1. I've brought it up before on games, on talks. I've never really delved into it. But it's Parasite Eve for the PlayStation 1. Parasite Eve. Parasite Eve is an RPG survival horror game. It's in the same vein at the time of like Resident Evil, except with RPG elements to it. Part of the challenge of the game was not just the puzzles and the stuff that you had to look into and had to solve. Part of the challenge of the game at the time was actually the combat, because the combat became very engaging in a way of having to change out your psychic powers on the fly and how you were infecting your bullets depending on what enemy you faced. It's also got an incredible storyline. It's incredible protagonist. It had an amazing sequel, and it had a decent little PSP game that came out for it. But Parasite Eve Games is one of these games that's kind of been pushed back in time. It's forgotten amongst Final Fantasy and Resident Evil and all the stuff that still persists today, regardless of popularity. Parasite Eve never got that chance. And it's one of these games that I feel like they should not only just bring back in some type of big way, but if you haven't ever gotten a chance to play the first one, if you can stand the clunky controls of the PlayStation 1, because let's be honest, PlayStation 1's a fun little system, but just got some clunky controls.
Fucking Resident Evil.
Resident Evil, man. If you like RPGs in any fashion, if you like horror, if you like just good artwork in general, this is a game that everybody today sleeps on, and I still think back in the day was still a niche game. I don't think it was a very big game for its time either, even though I do believe it was Square who produced it. So that's my number three. What's your number three, Todd?
Golden Axe, man. Golden Axe. And I just got to mention it. I'm not going to go too far into it, man. Just knock out these last three, because it was brought to the attention that, you know, we kind of slept on. We slept on Golden Axe in the multiplayer episode. And I had to think about that. And I said, you know what? That's a valid fucking point.
Yep.
So when I was putting this list together, I had to put it up there, because this is one of the forefathers of these types of games. Like, if you like Lord of the Rings, then you love Golden Axe, because this is the same type of shit, and you get to play with it. And it was just a good game, man, multiplayer-wise. And same people that made Altered Beast. Altered Beast was dope, and just it encapsulated that time frame. But I think it was a little bit slept on, man. So,
I agree, man. I agree completely.
All right, so Golden Axe, number three.
Perfect, number three. The Curse of Golden Axe. The Curse of Golden Axe. My number two, it's a game that I've talked to death on this show, but I can't help it because I still feel like people are sleeping on it, not playing it. Can't wait for the Switch version to come out. That's Hollow Knight. Yeah. Hollow Knight. Dude, this thing could run on a freaking potato. That's what's great about this game. Could run on a potato. Looks like a Flash game. It's a lot deeper than that. It's a beautiful, wonderful, fun game. It's great. It's a great Metroidvania. It's got good combat. It's got a hidden story that you actually have to find through the game. There's just nothing I can say about Hollow Knight that hasn't already been said, except fucking go play it. That's all I'm telling people, is fucking go play the game, dude. It's one of the best games ever in the last, like, at least 5 years, and people are going to sleep on this shit. But I don't care. I want people to go. I want people to go play. If I gotta come to your house and like sit you down, and that means
install it,
and like take you through the first like 3 hours till you get the point of the game, I will do it. If that's what you want, audience, I will do it. I mean, you're gonna have to pay for my travel, but I will still do it. That is a promise. But Hollow Knight, that's one of those games that just I love it. I really love. I mean, you don't spend 45 hours playing a Metroidvania game and not fall in love with it. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, you borderline, you do it almost every week, man. You talk me into some shit. But I looked into it myself. It really does look dope. It does look cool, man. Eventually, down the road, I'll add to the backlog.
Yep. And it's not very expensive. Yeah. It's not very expensive at all. I think a Hollow Knight, and it's always going on sale on Steam at some point. Let me check right now. What do we got Hollow Knight running at? It's $14.99. Right now it's $14.99. You can get that and the soundtrack for $20. Like,
yes. Yeah.
That's one of those games that just needs to be picked up. Team Cherry did a wonderful job with that game. And it's just graphically, it's just one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. What's your number two, Todd?
Man, I brought this game up before. If you want to go see the mess of it all on Twitch, I put it on there. But Sleeping Dogs, man. Square Enix Sleeping Dogs came out 2012. Just to put it in perspective how I know people slept on it. Not like it was a sale on it when I got it. But I think it's back up to $29.99 on Steam.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is good and bad. You know what I mean? It's still expensive. It's what, 5-6 years old, but that should let you know the quality of the game. I think people just slept on it at the time, man, and they still kind of do. It's a GTA style kind of game in Hong Kong, but that brings in the aspects of just the kung fu. Like, the combat is dope as fuck. The story is dope as fuck. It's just the split between the triads and the cops. I think they could have did a little bit more than that, but I mean, fuck it. I don't care. Like, the overall gameplay, everything about the game, it's one of my all-time slept-on games. I know it, because it still is fun. I just got it recently. I popped it in, still having a great time with it. So, Sleeping Dogs for me, man. That's got to be my number two.
Sleeping Dogs is a fantastic choice, man. I love Sleeping Dogs so much. It's one of those, too, that took me by surprise when I played it. Just how much fun that combat system was, and the flow to the combat. It feels like I guess the best way to put it is it feels like something that was choreographed. Like, while you're playing, it feels like a choreographed fight scene. It's beautiful, too. The Ultimate Edition or whatever they got on Steam and the one on Xbox One.
Definitive Edition. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. My number one is my favorite type of game because it was free. It's a free game. You don't have to pay anything for it. They got microtransactions, but they're all cosmetic. They don't help you win the game. And you don't have to pay anything to unlock the story as you play it. It's called Path of Exile. Completely free. It is one of the best. It comes from the same mindset of the Diablo 2 makers. They basically saw Diablo 3, said Diablo 3 wasn't what it should have been, and so they made Path of Exile. And they made what Diablo 3 should have been. But it's one of these games that it's an isometric RPG game, very, very much in the vein of Diablo 2. If you like Diablo 2, you would love Path of Exile. It came out in 2013. It's been around for a few years now. Came out October 23rd of 2013. It came out on Xbox One. You can play it for free on Xbox One if you got that, because that came out in 2017. And people are still sleeping on it. People still sleep on this shit. I don't understand. I don't understand. If I see something that says free, I'm going to download it. I'm going to download it just to see what it is. I'm not going to lie. I got to.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, the free way is a lot of times the best way, man. You know what I'm saying? If you can get it, especially if you can get quality, you go ahead and skip the bullshit and get straight to it. So, you know, always making good suggestions, man.
Yeah, free is my favorite price. Free 99. Free
motherfucking 99.
That's my favorite price. I will always take that price every day. What's your number one, Tuck?
Man, this number one is important to me for a couple of reasons, but it's Kingdom of Amalur. I think I said that right. The Reckoning.
I've heard nothing but good things about this game.
It was a dope fucking game. Came out in 2012. Now, I almost slept on it. I would have slept on it. I would have never played it. The only reason why I played it at the time as a gamer is because, you know, I'm a comic book fan as well. So Todd McFarlane, pound for pound, was my favorite dude because he's the creator of Spawn. So before the game came out, I think G4 was out at the time or whatever, and they were talking about it, and I saw a little clip of Todd McFarlane, and I read about it a little bit. And being that he was the artist behind it all, I was like, well, I got to get this shit. Simply because Todd McFarlane is fucking the artist of it. Like, it's gonna be dope.
The art is beautiful.
It's fucking great, right? I mean, it's Spawn. Did you watch the HBO Spawn
special? Oh yeah, dude. It's one of my favorites.
That's what I'm saying. So I was just like, okay, as far as a game, I gotta get it. Now, a lot of my friends, a lot of people, maybe they weren't comic book fans, or for whatever reason, they didn't gravitate towards it. And I mean, it is an action RPG. My type of RPG, you know. So I fucked with it, and I promise you, like, I wasn't disappointed. Now, the reason why this is number one on my list, though, is for a fucked up reason. It had to be the number one slept on game on my list because it was the downfall of a whole company.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's you know true. Yeah,
it was the downfall of a whole company. They put Curt Schilling, the Hall of Fame pitcher, the owner. What is it? Because I know they named it after his number 38.
38 Studios.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So 38 Studios, they became bankrupt behind this game because they've had so much confidence because it was a good game. It's a great game. Nothing but goodness about the game. But they put so much money behind it, so much confidence behind it, that when it was not successful, they went under. You know, people lost their jobs. So it's a good thing to have this kind of podcast to be able to say, okay, certain things I think don't need to be slept on like that, because it could, you know, destroy the good content and leave us with bullshit and too many microtransactions. And not, you know, we got to always be able to speak with our dollar, because maybe we would still have a cool development company out there with Curt Schilling as the owner and Todd McFarlane being able to fucking design games if we would have supported it. So, yeah, that's my number one slept on hidden gem. You can still fuck with it. It'll still be dope. I can assure you. That's my number one.
Bro. Right now, it's $20 on Steam. $20 yeah. on Steam.
It's a steal. That's a steal. If you like action RPGs, I got a solid 50 hours. I mean, it's just the maps were huge. The story was cool. It was a good game. It was super slept on. It's my number one slept on game, really, and that I can think of, bro.
Well, man, I can't wait to check it out. I know that you love it. I know that Venom in our Discord chat, man, he talks about that game. So did Rylio. Rylio, too.
Really?
Yeah, they talked about how good it was. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait to check it out. But until next time, that's been this week's edition of Skip the Tutorial. And as we always sign off with, stay humble. Peace.